Welcome back to another episode of Courtney Nolan, the podcast. Today we have an incredible guest, and I'm not even going to try to do her justice. So she is going to introduce herself to you right now.
Welcome. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I am the Pleasure and Toy Queen, Patricia. So I have recently received an award for that from the adult industry in Australia. I have many hats, if you put it that way. So
You certainly do.
I work as a certified sex educator, which also includes kink, BDSM. I'm just enrolled into my pro dominatrix training as well. I review pleasure toys, which is why I am the pleasure and toy queen, with over 250 pleasure toys and tools by now. I also review other products now in the pleasure area, such as lingerie and furniture and kinky tools and even period undies I've recently had. So it's getting really interesting. I love it. And I also work as an adult content creator. So I've got my, OnlyFans, loyal fans, and create content around this. And I'm now also female domination. So yeah, it's very interesting. But I also have got a certification as a yoga teacher, personal trainer, nutrition coach. I'm trauma informed. So all of that kind of like provides a holistic approach to all of
Yeah.
what I'm doing, and it kind of like all it like it all works together.
Yeah, I completely agree, because it's funny. Sometimes I'm people like, oh, what's your qualification? I'm like, it's kind of like, well, it's similar to you, right? So it's like nutrition, and then there's PT, and there's a yoga teacher, and I studied, business and marketing and all of these things. But then it's like, when you do, like, I think we've done the same qualifications, like somatic sex coaching and education. It's like, oh, this is just everything just really does feed back to the one thing, like how we are as people and how we sort of show up. So I find you utterly fascinating. There is so much goodness on your website. I was like, oh my God, I'm in a black hole of just looking at everything. But I suppose one of the things that I found most fascinating is that you're a mom as well. So a lot of the time, I think, particularly in this industry, and you say sex and people either have made the choice not to have children or don't want to, or whatever the situation is. But a lot of us don't have kids. So it's just completely puts a bit of a different lens on it. Like, how do you navigate this? Tell me your wisdom.
This is kind of actually how I got into all of that. So, because I'm not from Australia, I wasn't a permanent resident until like a few months ago. So there's no government support, no family support, nothing around it, young children, and I needed to have a job or work something where I know I can do it from home. And I've worked as a nurse before, so I've worked actually in aged care management, had a really, really good position, but it was all in South Australia, combined to like the area, and I really wanted to leave that area to actually go out and have better opportunities, because I didn't say goodbye to Germany to live in the bush. It got a little bit boring there, so I'm just like, I need people, kinky people around me. So came up here to Brisbane, and yeah, I needed to work something from home. And because it was harder for me, because it was COVID times, to actually work as a PT with that kind of competition around here, especially to the COVID times, I found OnlyFans. And then through that, I found the desire to actually go deeper into sexuality and to learn all about sexuality. I've always wanted to educate, always. And just by going into adult industry, it was like, I want to educate about sex as well. So, and I'm like, why have I never thought about that before? It's like so aligned with me. And I remember my best friend years ago saying, you should work with sex toys. Like, you would be so good about this because you're always so open about it. And this is when I started it. And my kids were young, and I started working from home, and it worked beautifully. And I just continued to grow and step by step. So the way I grew up was, sex wasn't really talked about. It was shamed. Like, I was shamed for actually exploring my sexuality. And otherwise, it was just like, this is not happening in this house. There are no keys. The doors are always open. There are no sleepovers. And if you have, like, I wrote into my sex journal, like, I had a journal about that, my first boyfriend. And I wrote about, like, my experiences in there. And my mom found this because she always had to dig into everything. And I came home one day. This journal was flying, like coming at me when I walked into the door, and she's like, "What kind of slut are you?" And like, just really bad shaming me. And I'm like, "Did you read my journal?" Because I mean, I was really detailed in that journal. So
I think, look, Pat, I think we've all got the same detail in our journals. So I definitely remember doing the same thing. So keep going, because this feels oddly familiar.
And I was like, wow. And the way I grew up, I had a lot of like shame. I needed to like really reframe my mindset around of be like, hey, this is like, it's sexuality. So the way my kids are growing up, it's completely different. Like we are naming our body parts the right way. Both of my kids, I have a boy and a girl. Both of my kids can say vulva. They know what a vulva is. They know what the labias are. We talk about both their genitals. We talk about consent, boundaries. They know they're allowed to say, no, don't touch me. Or like, no, I want to have a shower by myself. I don't want my brother to be there. Like it's all working in a different way. And my son recently, like they're both under 10, had like a little banana cake. And he came up, "Mom, look, that looks like a vulva." But not in like a weird way, like a normal, natural way. It's not a giggle word. It's not like anything bad or shameful. It's a vulva. So they already grow up that way. We already talk about feelings as well, and that you could have crushes on boys or girls, or that there are also other kids, you know, like they're all growing up differently now. And my daughter recently designed a story. She's very crafty about a thruple. And there was a boy and a girl falling in love, but then they also found another girl. And it was like a boy with two girls, and they got happily married. And she asked me recently, why can't four people get married? And I'm just like, I'm so here for it.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? And I think, like, I definitely feel like having children makes me even more aware of like the way that I speak about my body, or the way that we look at sex, or the way that we normalize things like the names of our body parts. Like, I think that for me was always just like really, really important to label them as they are. Like, you don't, and I use this example sometimes, like when I'm talking in particular workshops, and I'm like, you don't call your thumb like a funny name. So why would you do that to like your vulva? Or like why would you call it a ding dong when it's not a ding dong? Like, it's a penis. And the more you sort of like hide the way that you speak about it, you're making yourself uncomfortable too. Because do you know what I mean? So it's like, and when parents ask me, they're like, oh, you know, how are you navigating it? Like, how are you doing this? And it's like, well, I think it's just, it's not one conversation. It's a whole bunch of conversations over the whole time. It's not just like you get to a particular age. Like, there's no perfect age for sex education. It's like, it's the continual stuff. Like, you just continually, like, I think building on it. And I don't know if it's because we work within, you know, the sex industry, or that we just have a particular interest in it, that we feel more comfortable being open with, you know, our kids. But I think it's really, really fascinating. So when you describe what you do to your kids, how does that go?
So they know I'm a self, like I rebranded from Healthy with Trisha with Fitness and Nutrition to Self-Love with Trisha. So they knew that I was like a self-love coach, helping women to fall in love with themselves. And now they also know that I have like rebranded to Self-Love Pleasure, and that I also have pleasure products, and that I get mommy and daddy products in the mail, because I get parcels like all the time. And, you know, kids, they're like, what's in that parcel? I want to open it. And I'm like, okay.
Adult things.
So I think like, I know most of the time what's arriving. So if it's not like something intimidating, weird, like a monster dildo, I don't like show that. But the discreet toys, for example, like I had like for example a yoni egg, a crystal yoni egg, or I had a toy that is a hammer, a pink blue hammer. And then I've got a toy that it looks like a bird, it looks like a frog, or you know, the other one looks the rose one, you know, it looks like a pretty thing you can stand on the side. So they unpack it, they see it. I had just a couple of days ago my son coming out of the bathroom and had one of my favorite that looks a bit round like a shell, putting on his ear. Mom, I think you can hear the ocean. Is that a shell? And I'm like, no, darling, that is not a shell. He's like, I'm pretty sure I can hear the ocean. And he passes on to me and he's like, you need to try. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not, but okay, I'll try.
Okay, I'll check just for
No,
you.
like, no, it's not. And he's like, oh, is that one of your body massages? And then he found the button, he pressed it, and he's like, yeah, it feels all right. So,
Feels all right as he's like touching just like his like shoulders with it. That's really funny because I definitely have had like my kids find any of like my toys anywhere. Like I do not have anywhere near your selection. Like I've seen some of your footage and you have drawers upon drawers upon drawers of toys. So I clearly need to come and visit. But like I have a
definitely.
couple of boxes and I'm like, I definitely have more than your average girl because I do, you know, it's mood dependent. It's like, what are you liking? How does this feel? And sometimes the boy's like, oh, that looks really cool. Like, what is that? And it's like super fascinating because like they are bright colors and they do look fun. And I'm like, well, of course. Like, of course you're gonna be curious about what this is. And I'm like, you know, when you do get a bit bigger, like you're gonna be even more interested because things are interesting. Like sex things are supposed to be interesting, but yeah, I definitely think our kids are going to have a progressive education when it comes to sex education.
Well, nowadays, like when you look at the statistics, by the year 13, like most of them have been seen porn, like they have been exposed
Yeah.
to porn. So if it's not you that you're giving the education, they will, the proper education, they will get some sort of education from somewhere
Yeah.
else, either through friends, like they have a play date somewhere else and one has seen that and then they get it shown. So I've talked to my kids as well. I said, look, if you are with your friends and because they have mobile phones now these days.
Yeah.
So if you get to see anything that you don't like, that you find disturbing, things that are happening that you find weird or have questions about it, I would love if you can come to me and talk about this to me. So
Yeah.
there's like, no, I'm not going to be angry or anything. Like, it's just something that I want to like chat to you about. Like, if it's on your mind, if you've seen something, and I also want you to speak up if it's something that disturbs you, to say, look, I don't want to see it, or I don't want to see
Yeah.
any more of that. Because it could happen. So just to like prepare them in a way already so that they
Yeah.
know, because it's gonna come. And I run around naked too, so they know at least like how a naked body looks like. So
Yeah.
like you said before, the body image, it's really important how we talk about our bodies, but also how we behave at home. So
Yeah.
if I'm running around naked, they know, okay, this is mom, this is how a normal body looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. We're the same in our house. And I think it's so, yeah, I love normalizing it. I think that's really, really fascinating. Like very, very cool. But very interestingly, you review toys. So I'm curious. Like I've said, nobody else can possibly imagine how many toys you actually have unless they've seen your website. But I want to know, like, what are your faves or hottest recommendations or ones that you have been like, oh, this is so pleasantly surprising? And when you say review toys, like, what's the criteria that you're expected to review them? Like, how does that look?
So let's talk about the review process first.
Yeah.
I only review toys like now that are with body safer materials. So let it be silicon, like premium, pure silicon, not a mixture. Borosilicate glass, medical steel, so metal, things like that. They need to discuss that with me first. So they need to like, this is a product, and then I have a look at it and be like, okay, I can review that. If it's something where I already know I might not like it, I also say that I'm sorry, I don't think this is like in my preferences because that would give you a bad review because all my reviews are
Yeah.
honest reviews. So I say
Yeah.
that also straight up as my terms and conditions. If you are booking in, even though they're paying me to do a review, because I'm going to get paid by it now, because there's a lot of work behind it, a lot.
Oh yeah.
Then I said to them, like, it's my honest personal review. And we are all different. We all have different,
Yeah.
preferences. But I get a pretty good idea now of what I like.
Yeah.
And that kind of reflects now in my toys and the choices and the people that I attract working with. So, and then I basically review it. And yeah, so the collection that I have now, there's quite a lot of vibrators in there. But I do desire and manifest now to go a little bit more into like the kinky tools as well. I mean, I do have quite a few there as well, but I want to have more of that. I
Yeah.
explore a little bit more of the kinkier tools and also like pleasure furniture. I recently had a chair that was like really amazing to sit on. And yeah.
So when you say kinkier toys, what exactly do you mean? Like, what do you have in your mind when you were like, oh, I want a kinkier toy? Because obviously kink is something that I feel, I don't know if it's just because we work within the industry or because we're both like, oh, tell me more, that it seems to be becoming more prevalent, or even just like a few more of my clients are like, hey, cool, like, what do you think of this? Or how do you know about that? Or if I want to explore this particular kink, how do I go about it? So I think there's definitely a little bit of a tidal shift of definitely not mainstreaming it, but a little bit more curiosity around it. So when you say kinky toys, like, are we talking nipple clamps or like where are we at with that?
So exactly. So toys in general are already kinky. Like if someone
Right?
uses toys, someone will be like, I'm not using toys, so you're already kinky. So yes, but using toys in the collection I have, that is already kink. But in kinkier, I mean like going a little bit deeper and exploring a little bit more, because when you look at like the mainstream main brands of sex toys, for example, pleasure toys, when you look at them and you click like the BDSM kink section, you get like, here's a flogger, here's like a whip, here's maybe a nipple clamp,
Handcuffs.
things like that, handcuffs, but they're usually not like the best quality. So, and I would like to explore a little bit more in this regards of like what makes good flogger, like, and the rope, for example, there's also differences in candle wax, there are differences in nipple clamps. So I've reviewed a few nipple clamps now. I've put also some education on my pleasure and toy school about that. They are like the crocodile clamps, the slide-on clamps, and different kind of clamps. And where you, unless you know, unless you like explore that, you don't know that, and you think like you've got these really bad crocodile clamps, and you're like, oh my God, like I don't like it, but you don't even know that there
Yeah,
are
I
other
agree.
ones.
Kind of
So.
like, do you mean like if you just say a vibrator, people just think of vibrator, but it's like, no, there's so many things, there's so many variations to that. So when you say like kink toys, like I had no idea about the different types of nipple clamps. Like I've seen like suction ones and I've seen a couple of different ones, but yeah, when you just talk about like the different actual style of clamp, I'm like, oh, interesting. I didn't even realize that was a thing that you could look for. So I'm like, oh, how interesting. So yeah,
Pumps
okay.
as well. So I've just finished editing my pump education class as well. So we've got like the clit pump, the vulva pump, then we've got the nipple pumps, we've got the penis pumps. So they are also different pumps. And then
Did
we've
you
got
say
the
a clit pump?
yes,
What
clit
does
pump.
that look like? Because I've got like this in my head.
Yeah, like a
Yeah,
smaller
okay.
pump that you put just around the clitoral hood area, and then you can suck up the clit pump, like the clit basically, and the surrounding tissue. So, or you've got the vulva pump, which has the outer labias included, the inner labias, and then you like, pump that part up. But then there are also automatic pumps, handheld pumps, there are push pumps, there are like so different kind of pumps, plastic,
Everything.
silicon ring, full of silicon. And especially when you use the automatic ones, like there's a risk. If you like, I had that happen to me. I'm like pressing it and it pumps up and I'm like, deflate, deflate, deflate. And it didn't work because I had my finger on the hole on the back. And I'm like, why is it not deflating? Freaking out because it kept pumping. And then I'm like, just like taking the hand off and it just like deflates. I'm like, oh, learning lesson here. Gonna have to pass that one on. But even like labia spreaders, like you can spread your labias. Like there's medical play, there's like for impact play, for bondage play, restraining play. So much out there. And I love exploring. So,
I think that's the I definitely think that's one of the like super fascinating things about the industry is there's always something new. And I think even like, because I do a lot of work with couples, so I or people in relationships, I should say. Generally, it's one person who comes in and they've got like a little bit more curious about something. But even when you think you've heard it all or seen it all, and then someone comes in and I'm so fascinated, I'm always like, tell me everything. This is, oh my goodness. Like, I don't think you get shocked. I think you just get curious. You're like, oh, God damn, this is the first time I'm hearing. Like, tell me in detail because this is fascinating, like, utterly fascinating.
That is good to hear. So I think this is really valuable for your clients as well, because then they don't feel shamed. They feel like, oh, okay, she wants to know more. Like, okay, so it's not like a bad thing or anything, or we need to change the
Completely.
subject, and I can actually like explore that and talk about that topic with someone. So that's really
Completely. And
good
I
to know.
think, like, so even just this week, I was going through with a particular group, going through my like brand values and like my business values. And I'm like trying to figure out how to sum up, obviously, like what I do. But I think one of the big things is, yeah, I really do just want the people that I work with to know exactly how comfortable it is. Like, I'm literally not going to be shocked with what you come in with, like regardless of like your kink or your fetish or your this or your that or whatever desire you've got. And I think that's why when you actually start to talk to like yourself, even within a sexual industry, it's not as scary as you might think, which is like when you and I talk about our conditioning, like growing up, or how our parents look at sex, or how other people or society as like a collective are like, oh, I don't know if we can talk about that. It's like not everyone actually feels that way, which is why I think it's just so nice when we get to have these conversations and record these potties. Cause I'm like, no, not everyone feels the same way about sex. Like, people are genuinely curious and genuinely want to know. Like, it's fascinating. It's an utterly fascinating topic.
I just wish we could put a little bit more education out there on like social medias, using that kind of like channel and platforms more, because like the more we try to educate now at home using the right terminologies, you can't even say that on social media.
I
Like,
know.
what does that show? So,
Can't even use a cushion.
yeah, or say the word
You
vulva or sex or just pleasure. Even pleasure is now
know?
like such a trigger word. And I'm like, it's pleasure, Jesus Christ.
Have you found that? Because I feel like I recall you not too long ago having one of your accounts blocked or banned. Like, I know it happens
Yes, I had one of
regularly.
them. Yeah, I think it was about a year ago now that I had one. Yeah, just taken away just like that.
And there's no warning. And I think that's a thing. And like, that's what sometimes people are like, oh, but how come such and such can say blah and not get banned? I'm like, I don't know, because I look at this as such quality education as well. So it's like, even like you know, when you're talking about like toys, or you're educating on like a different way of saying something, or just like a di through a different mindset, it's like, there's nothing wrong with this. This shouldn't be like blocked or banned or like treated like it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated. Tell me when you've reviewed a toy and it's just been like, oh, this has been a nightmare. Like, I want to hear like you're like, oh, this was just not for me. This was utterly fucking terrible, like a tragedy. I want to hear the worst one.
I had one of the toys that arrived, and it wasn't really silicon. So they said, oh yeah, we're going to send you this toy. And I looked on their website and it said silicon. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. I'm down for it. It was a dildo, like a fantasy dildo, monster dildo. It arrived and I opened the package and I'm like, oh, okay, we have a smell. Then I touched it and I had like this oily, filmy thingy on there. And I'm just like, I don't think this is silicon, because silicon shouldn't be doing that. And then I actually had to like wrap it up again because it was that horrible and icky and yucky. I would have like never in my life put that inside of me. So contacted them again, and after a while I found then out it was TPE, so it wasn't silicon, but they were selling it as silicon on their website. So I'm just like, you are now on my blacklist. Thank you. Moving
Yeah,
on.
no
Not going to
way.
review that one. Then I had another one where I thought I would like it. It was a kind of like a rabbit vibrator. So actually from a brand that I'm really good with and I loved it. And but the top that normally sits externally on your clit, instead of like the usual airports suction that you know, this one like just sucked, like strongly sucked instead of pulling. So while I was having that in and I'm like pushing it on, and I'm like, holy. And I'm like, maybe it's just me. Okay, put it back on. I tried everything and I'm just like, I can't. Like, it's just not, it's sucking my clit away. Like, how is that pleasurable?
It's not a
So
fun
I put a
time.
big warning sign on there on my rib and I said, if you got a clit and you were like, you love your clit, I'm not sure if you should try this one. Unless you are like really a fan that you just get it sucked away.
And that would not be ideal for a lot of people, but I think that's why like an honest review is
Yeah.
bloody priceless. So I'm also curious, when you talk about OnlyFans, How do you navigate this? Like, tell me, because obviously, like, it's such a, to me, I find it fascinating. Like, I love it. I love hearing about it. I'm like, oh, tell me more. Like, it's just, yeah, from your point of view, how have you found things?
So I'm doing it now for 2.5, almost 3 years now. Yeah, almost 3 years now. And it has been amazing for me personally, amazing. The way I entered OnlyFans, I didn't even know what I was. Like, I'm just like, oh, I sign up because I saw a fitness personal trainer doing it. And she was like doing her posing in lingerie on it. And I'm like, I can do that too because I'm doing it on Instagram for free at the moment. So let's do that.
Might as well make some extra money out of it.
Told everybody about it, and they're all like, "Trisha, are you sure you should tell everybody what you're doing?" Told my family, told everybody. I'm like, "I'm doing OnlyFans." Didn't know what I was doing. Within a month, I was naked on there. Okay, we got there. So, because I was pretty like confident, not as confident, but confident. To that time, I was struggling with my saggy man boobs. So I had lost a lot of weight. I had been anorexic when I was really young. So I had like really double D breasts down to A because I was then anorexic, then all the weight back on, then normal, then pregnancy, then like it was just like continuously. So, and then now with the fitness, it was like boof. So very saggy, and I struggled there with my saggy man boobs. But the more I got into OnlyFans, like the fans that subscribe to my page, I have to like say they have been amazing. The way, I guess the way I put myself out there, I attract the kind of like right fans that subscribe. And they have been highlighting my bodies like, oh my God, like your thighs, oh my God, your armpits, and oh my God, your feet. And I've never looked at my body that way. And I'm like, I do have nice armpits. Oh, my thighs are actually really hot in there. And I'm just like slowly, step by step, I fell in love with my body and even with my saggy man boobs. So I embraced it. So at some stage, I was having that really good relationship. I still went along with having a breast lift. So I recently, at the beginning of the year, had a breast lift and I don't regret it. So I was treating them. I see it as a treat rather than I hated my boobs and wanted to change them. So I didn't combine it with happiness. But yeah, like it has been amazing for me personally, for my body, for falling in love with myself, becoming more confident. And also exploring, because this is how I then started to review sex toys and to find out that I actually want to like educate more about sex. And because my page is not, I don't collaborate with others, so I'm purely on there with myself, pleasuring myself, using my toys, exploring. So they see female pleasure. So the people, and I guess this is also why the audience is a bit different, the fans that I attract, because they're here to see just me being in pleasure. So, and it's different because some of them, they reach out, they're like, I had no idea you could do that, like, or that you need to do this, and like you're rubbing your clit all the time. I'm like, yeah, well, you don't just come from penetration alone, or oh, this is like how you squirt. And like sometimes I, because I make it interactive, like I'm not just there, I actually talk to the camera, so I talk to myself or to the people, so I take them along my journey, and like they get to know me on a much, much deeper level, but also women, not like in whole general, but you know, some education in there. So just entertainment, fun way, being intimate, but educational.
So would you say your audience is predominantly men or women?
Yes, men.
It's predominantly
I've
men.
got a few couples in there. I have the occasional woman signing up, but most of them are men.
Do you think that it's still like sexually arousing for them, or they also love that education piece where they're like, oh, okay, this is really helpful? Like, do you think they look at it as that as well?
It depends, like on like I guess it's the range of it, from the feedback from the ones who do start chatting with me. They're there for different reasons. Sometimes it's also just like they just want to see my feet, for example. So it's a fetish. Yeah, so sometimes it's just a fetish, or sometimes it's really they do want to like connect with me because they followed me for a while, or they do want to like see certain toys, how they're working. These are then also the fans who then say, like, have you tried this toy? Like, I've heard this is really good. You should get that one. And when you do that, I'm gonna get that video. And I'm just like, yeah. So having that conversation, or they're just there to get pleasure out of seeing female pleasure. So that's that wide range. The thing is, for me, what I decided for myself is always staying true to myself. So not bending myself to deliver for the fan, because as long as I stay true to myself, I will attract the right fans, the right people who actually really enjoy what I enjoy. And the more I enjoy myself, the more like that content is just like you see the difference. Like you can just see how much I enjoy myself and exploring myself and like soaking myself up. So.
It's so different. And I think that's why, like, I had an interesting conversation with somebody not too long ago about how porn can be very educational in a sense. And it was people like the workshop that I was in, they were very anti-porn. They were like, no, that's terrible. It's so damaging. And I'm like, I sort of like had the zipped lip for a while and I was like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, Courtney, this isn't just we'll see where this goes. And I was like, fuck that. I'm jumping in. And I was like, I held my tongue way longer than I would have expected. So proud of myself there. But I was like, look, I think your view on sex is quite unique, like it's quite different. Whereas like, how about this other view? And I'm like, porn can be, ethically made, ethically done. Like we've all seen like the chicks getting fisted and it's like, she does not look like she's enjoying herself. And he looks like it's just, this big like macho thing. And I'm like, that's so far from what majority of people like or expect or want. So I think when you look at porn or you look at what people are interested in, like you're saying, like when you stay true to yourself, it's different and it feels different. I think that's one of the things, like when people do talk about OnlyFans and it's like, yeah, some people, sure, they do it just like you're saying for a fan base. But you'll attract people who genuinely want to see the right stuff, who want to see genuine pleasure, which I think is also like, I mean, I still find it fascinating because I'm like, well, for the lads who are watching, and when you are genuinely doing it in a way that you enjoy, they can take that information home with them too. I'm like, I know sometimes like I've had clients before and like it is usually the female who's like, he watches too much porn, and it's like, is there a way that you can reframe that? Like how you can be like, well, either let's watch it together, or what are you liking, or what are you learning, or what are you looking for, like any of these things, and try to like weave it into the relationship instead of it feeling like this thing that happens on the side that's not, it's like, seedy and wrong. And I'm like, yeah, but like there's more to it than just that. And I think the more that you're in the industry, it's can be so different. And it's not like this kind of like ugly underbelly sort of like side of things anymore. Like, what sorts of conversations do you think have been most, I don't know. I always laugh at the foot fetish ones because I'm like, to me, feet are like all sorts of ick, but everyone's got their thing and I'm not here to yuck someone's yum. But what have you found like the most entertaining in terms of the chats, through your OnlyFans?
Oh, like in regards to like fetishes.
Fetishes or something that they really want to see that you're like, really? I would never have thought of that. Like, how interesting.
I have heard quite a few things, but I haven't actually come across a lot of it. So the ones that are usually coming on is like I said, it's like the armpits. I should lick my armpits, which I found like okay.
Reach? I don't think.
Yeah, so lick them, like, smell them, lick them. I recently met someone, I should just walk around the house naked. So I had to put my phone on different angles around the house to just walk around and then pretend to not look at the camera, just like walk around naked. So that was quite interesting, like different. There's a lot of like, yeah, as I said, feet, thighs. I also had someone who was like, because I'm training in muscles and like my femdom. It's like I should have put like the camera between my thighs and pretend like I'm squishing him and yeah, things like that. Or I had
So
something with
you're training femdom, did you say? Tell me about that. Because I saw that on your website and I'm like, oh, I'll ask her about this. Because like I too find it really, really interesting.
yeah, that's just something I like. I always had that part in me of like that female domination, but because of society and the way I grew up, it's like I need to be submissive, and
You
no,
do.
oh yeah. So, and what I've been through like with TV and all that stuff, and but I've always been like apparently like when I know date as well, I come across intimidating, very confident, and I attracted now quite a lot of guys will then say, like, as the conversation goes on the date, yeah, and I'm a little bit submissive and I like a dominant woman. I'm just like, why am I attracting all these guys here? What's happening? I always thought like, I'm the submissive, but looking back, I have been a bad submissive. I've always like talked back. I was a brat. And to be
Yeah.
honest, the ones that I have been with, they have been really bad doms too. So that was not actually a good point to go in subspace. But anyway, I get all these signs and signals from my life about confident dominatrix women. And I'm just like, life's telling me something here. So I better start exploring that because I pushed it away for a couple of years now. And then I thought, nope, now it's the time. Now it's the time.
And
So
is that a workshop, Patricia, or is
I'm
that
doing
like
a training.
a
So
meeting?
I've found a dominatrix that really like called out to me. Like she stands out to me because she's doing a lot of like mindset around it. Because the dominance work, like most people think about, there's now this lady in black with her whip and she's like cha-ching and
Yes, that's
creating.
exactly what is in my head. And I'm like, I can see you in the latex with like the tight bun
Yeah, the hair's up
and
with
the
a pencil,
heels.
and this goes cha-ching, and the
Yes.
humiliation and the degrading. But that is not all what femdom is. Like female domination, there are so many different archetypes that you can embody. And one of my main ones is the queen archetypes, so which perfectly fits to the pleasure and toy queen. So, and I always called myself a queen. So, duh, like there's so many things now when I look back, it's already been within me. So now I'm just like really exploring it and embracing it. And because there are so many different female dominations, so you can be a slave, you can be a servant, you can be a sub, you can be, of course, there's humiliation and degrading if you want it to be, if you want it to be a king in that, but it doesn't have to be, which is not like my main one. There's a seductress, you know, someone who's playing with you and comes closer and changes her voice and whispers in your ear, I'm gonna do whatever I want to you now. Like, and you can't move. Like, just a seductress. It doesn't have to be degrading. So there's so many like tools as well that you can play with. So I've signed up to her training and I've read a bunch of books already, listened to a bunch of podcasts, and I'm already all in, like, so I'm already attracting some subs on my loyal fans now. So I had to like change around a few things on my pages because I can't like throw my female domination onto my self-pleasure people. So I kind of keep that separate. So if you are into fetish and kinks, BDSM, female domination, I've got the separate page now. But if you just want to like explore self-pleasure and pleasure toys with me, then the other page. So I've got both of them.
On Instagram or through your website, that's probably a good place to drop them. So I will put everything in my show notes. But where do you recommend people find you on Instagram? Because I know I obviously I know you from the course, but from Instagram, is that the best place, or do you like people come to your website?
Website is probably the best way because everything is located there, just in case Instagram gets lost at some stage, which is selflovepleasure.com, because all self-love and pleasure in one way or another. But otherwise, Instagram, and it really depends, Instagram, then what kind of content, because I've got a few accounts now just to like, you know, have different audiences, but also because one can be just taken away like
Oh,
that.
yeah. Oh,
But yeah,
yeah.
Pleasure Toy Queen. If you just Google that, Pleasure Toy Queen, I should probably come up too. So
You'll
I have.
definitely come up, and I'll tag the heck out of you in everything when I post this, because I know people are always fascinated, and I'm like, I think that was why I really wanted to get you on, because I'm like, who better than you to come on and talk about toys and kink and all the bloody good things? Is there anything, any advice, I suppose, to anyone who's like, oh, I've had the same vibe for the last blah, blah, blah. It does the trick. It gets me off. Is there any advice that you think, would land really, really well in terms of like someone thinking about trying something new in the realm of toys or kink or anything?
In the realm of king toys and tools or like pleasure toys, I've got a free ebook on my website. So if you
Perfect.
are completely new to it and you're like, I don't know where to start, get that free ebook because it goes through how to store them, how to clean them, what kind of lube to use with the toys,
Yes.
what kind of toys are out there and what material is actually safe for you to use and which other ones you should not touch or put into your body. So that's definitely one of the points. And then otherwise, I've put so much free education out there on my social media. And then if you do really want to go a bit deeper, my Pleasure and Toy School. So the Pleasure and Toy
Okay.
School is now everything about pleasure, everything about toys, and I really go deep in there and you can connect with me there.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you so.
me.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. I mean, obviously, I could talk to you all day because I love all of these topics.
Same.
But I will wrap it up. If you guys are looking for Patricia, I highly recommend you go to her website. It is literally, you could spend a good couple hours on there. There is a shit ton on there. It's brilliant. But otherwise, all the notes are in the show notes. So thank you for coming.